The U.S. Supreme Court will hear oral arguments today in a Michigan case with potential repercussions for other states as well. It involves Indian tribal rights and casino operations. For 3 years, Michigan's Bay Mills tribe has been in a legal battle with the state over its casino north of Gaylord. A decision last year by the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld the legality of the establishment. But it triggered an appeal by Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette. Now, in the case to be heard by the nation's highest court, the Bay Mills tribe says it's entitled to sovereign immunity from lawsuits filed by the state. Now, the high court's decision, which is expected next year, will likely impact the continued expansion of casino gambling in many states, including Michigan, either by restricting or expanding where casinos may be built. The Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta is in Washington for today's arguments. I spoke with him earlier this morning and asked him for more background on how the two sides got to this point.
Well, about 3 years ago, the Bay Mills tribe decided that they were going to try and open a casino in Vanderbilt in northern Michigan. It's a small town. It's about 100 miles south of their reservation in the Upper Peninsula. And what they're doing is kind of testing the legal waters for an off-reservation casino, and if they do, they can open more. And the reason they want to do this is because there aren't a lot of people in the eastern Upper Peninsula, but there are a lot of casinos, so that market is kind of saturated. So they're looking for new places to go to.
What exactly will the high court be deciding? What's the question that's in front of them?
The narrow point that it seems that the court will be deciding on is whether or not there's essentially a, I guess you would call it a loophole in the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act that basically allows an Indian tribe like Bay Mills to open a casino off a reservation with money that it's bought for the purpose of buying tribal land. But since Congress made no specific provisions for the tribes which have what's called sovereign immunity to be sued in cases like this, the tribes say that means you just can't sue us. We can buy land, we can open a casino, and really there's nothing in federal court that you can do about this.
And what would be the implications of the court finding in the state of Michigan's favor in this?
Well, it depends. If it does find in the state's favor, it depends on how far it finds in the state's favor. Hmm. What has a lot of tribes concerned, because you know tribes all across the country are watching this as are states, is that Michigan is saying once you step off the reservation, tribes, you no longer enjoy that sovereign immunity, that immunity that units of government have from lawsuits. And that means if you do something, then we can sue you. We can sue you in federal court. We can go after assets that you have. You're just another property owner like any other property owner in the state. And if the court goes that far, what that means for the tribes is that, I mean, they're not just another property owner, that they're actually a unit of government that derives its revenue from running businesses. And to put your businesses where you can make some money, you've really got to go off the reservation. They don't have they don't have a lot of taxing authorities. The tribe don't, and there's really not a lot of value to tax on a reservation anyway. And so without this immunity that they can negotiate, without this immunity, and they're saying we can't go off the reservation, we can't open up these businesses, not just casinos, that you know, there's a water park in Mount Pleasant that they even own, you know, dry cleaning services, things like that, that all of those are endangered, and we've got to rethink our participation in the larger economy, which then begs the question of, well, then how are these tribal governments going to get the revenue to run schools, provide social services, do tribal police and fire protection, things like that?
Mm. And finding in the tribe's favor, what would be the implications there?
Well, I mean, one of the implications is that as long as you can go and buy up some, you know, some property and do it in the right way, that you don't really have to stay on a reservation to get a casino. Now, you know, you do still have to get, you know, the approval of the Federal Department of Interior. That, for example, that's, you know, happening in Lansing right now, that the Sioux tribe, the Sioux St. Marie tribe of Chippewa Indians, would like to open a casino in Lansing, mm-hmm. that they've got an option on a plot of land there. But instead of, you know, sort of opening a casino and then saying, now you try to make it go away, they are asking the Federal Department of Interior to declare that that land is held in trust as tribal land so they can put a casino on it. So they're taking a different avenue.
So finding in the tribe's favor, would that likely accelerate casino expansion in Michigan?
Potentially it could, certainly.
There appear to be different interpretations of what exactly the tribe's contract with the state is. Is that going to become clearer after the Supreme Court's decision is announced?
That's not really a play in this case, because what Bay Mills is saying is this is outside the four corners of the compact of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. What they're saying is the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act deals with on-reservation casinos, but we're trying to open a casino off of a reservation. It's still tribal land, but it's not a government-recognized reservation. It's a complex and nuanced argument.
Mm. Could the decision have an impact on matters beyond casino expansion?
Well, yeah, as I pointed out, that you know, tribes operate all kinds of businesses that are off of the reservations in order to, you know, make money and derive revenue for tribal operations. All of those businesses are, you know, potentially in play in one way or another. That if tribes, you know, I spoke with Matthew Fletcher, who is a professor at the Indigenous Law Center there at MSU, and he said that, you know, what this means is that any of these businesses, if something goes awry without that immunity, without that sovereign immunity, I mean, all kinds of trust funds for children's services, for taking care of the elderly, for buying land, would potentially be at risk in the case of a lawsuit. And so then you've got to decide as a tribe whether or not it's worth it to go off, you know, to go open a business off reservation.
And I understand other states are watching this very closely. This very same dynamic is unfolding in a number of states.
Well, it's just this question of sovereign immunity and states' relationships with Indian tribes on off-reservation activities. This doesn't really seem to have a lot of effect on sovereign immunity on the reservation. But, I mean, this could change states' relationships with the tribes. 17 states have filed what are called amicus briefs, friend of the court briefs in this case, and 60-something tribes in the American Congress of Indian Tribes have all filed briefs in this case as well.
The Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta, who's covering today's oral arguments between the state of Michigan and the Bay Mills Indian Tribe at the U.S. Supreme Court.